This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
Live. You can bring up anything you want here as we kick off the third hour of the program. You can take control of the airwaves and bring up, again, whatever's on your mind. Our number is 855-450-FREE, like freedom. That's 855-450-3733. Ian and nobody in the studio with you tonight. We've been discussing, some election-related stuff that we didn't get to last night. The numbers for Joe Jorgensen's campaign, the Libertarian for President this year, second best results in the Libertarian Party's presidential history, which isn't too shabby. And also, there was one other ballot measure, nobody, that I thought was worth talking about, and that was the much ballyhooed Proposition 22 out in California. Now, this was the Uber and Lyft law. Had you heard at all about what was going on out there?
I heard that California was trying to put the Uber and Lyft drivers out of business there by declaring them to be employees, even
right.
though they're not.
Correct.
And so what happened with that?
So what happened was Proposition 22 was actually written by the ride-sharing companies. It was in response to a law that was passed by the state legislature that was trying to force the contractors to become employees. And so the ride-sharing companies made a ballot proposition and got it qualified by getting, 600,000 signatures or whatever to put that on the ballot. And Proposition 22 passed. So that means that California's voters, surprisingly, actually weighed in favor of the contractor status.
Wow.
In this particular case.
I wonder if they actually understood the issue.
Good question.
That's kind of amazing.
There was a lot of money that was poured in because California's a huge market, right? I mean, if Uber and Lyft and whatever the smaller ones are, if they were to be forced into this employee status for their contractors, they probably would have just left the state.
Right.
And obviously they don't want to do that, so they were willing to spend some number of millions of dollars to promote this thing. And so here's a story from CNBC. California's voters decided on Tuesday that Uber and Lyft should be exempt from the state labor law that aims...
Oh, wow. So they left the horrible law in place and just exempted two companies from
it? No. I think it's all the the ride sharers, I believe.
Okay.
It may actually be all the gig economy stuff. I'm not sure as to how wide cutting it was. But according to the story, the state labor law aimed to make their drivers employees rather than contractors, according to NBC News projections. Voters made the call on Proposition 22, a ballot measure that essentially became one of Uber and Lyft's last hopes in the state to continue their operations under the status quo. The proposition would allow drivers for app-based transportation and delivery companies. So if you're a DoorDasher or Uber Eats or Postmates, then this would also affect you. To be classified as independent contractors in many circumstances. While that would disqualify them for benefits granted to employees, the measure also entitles drivers to new benefits like minimum earnings and vehicle insurance. So they did bend a little bit here on their normal set of how things work. Several gig economy apps back the measure, including Uber, Lyft, DoorDash, Instacart, and Postmates, which Uber is acquiring. The support for these companies helped raise nearly $203 million to back the measure, while opponents raised less than $20 million, according to tallies compiled by Ballotpedia. Democratic presidential nominee Joe Biden opposed the measure. He said in a tweet in May that Californians should vote no on the initiative and said, quote, gig economy giants are trying to gut the law and exempt their workers. It's unacceptable, unquote.
And gigs being not jobs by definition,
right.
Not only employees of those five companies, or not only giggers for those five companies, but everyone who's working a gig and not a job should not be required to act as if they have a job.
Right. They should be free to contract.
Absolutely.
Which is what they are doing. That's one of the reasons why you want to work for these companies. companies, it's not because they're good companies necessarily. Uber kind of sucks. But
yeah, I mean, I avoid riding with Uber because they won't, they refuse to hire me due to a marijuana conviction.
And oh,
so
yeah.
If I'm too dangerous to work for them, I'm clearly too dangerous to ride for them. Ride with them.
Yeah, exactly. So while Uber and Lyft were able to raise gobs of cash from venture capitalists and have multi-billion dollar valuations on the public market, neither has reached profitability. That makes their contractor-driver model especially important to the businesses, allowing them to avoid costly benefits associated with employment, such as unemployment insurance. But also a reason why you don't want to have an employee in that situation is because it's a lot harder to deal with. You know, employees have to have a schedule. Mm-hmm. So the employee has to know when they're starting and when they're stopping, and that means there's a lot of central control that, you know, if you're running a taxi cab company and you have employees, you've got to tell these guys when to show up, and if somebody doesn't show
up... Cab drivers are almost never employees.
That's true.
I was certainly never an employee when I was a cab driver.
Some of them will rent the cars.
If they tried to make me an employee.
Some of them will rent the cars. But if that was what was going to happen, then you'd have to have all kinds of scheduling problems where you've got to have somebody who can't work. Now you got to get somebody to cover the shift or else you don't have anybody on. Whereas with the contractor situation that they've got, there's no limit technically to the amount of people who can be on the app willing to accept rides. There is a limit to the market, right? Like it can only handle so much. There are only so many rides available. But technically, anybody who's qualified, who meets their qualifications, can have their app logged in and they can receive ride requests. Mm-hmm. Or in the case of, you know, Instacart or DoorDash, delivery requests. And so that means that the market sort of, it allows it to automatically scale to some extent to what the market can handle rather than having some central decider, some human resources department make decisions. So it's a sensible position to be in, but the people who support unions, they want these people to be employees. The unions are behind the measures to employeeize these contractors because they want to take over. They want to have unions for Uber drivers.
They want that money.
They
want a piece of the rock.
Exactly. So, more to the story here. The companies have warned they'd likely have to pass on increased costs of worker reclassification to consumers. Uber estimated in a blog post earlier this year that it would have to raise rider prices by 25% to 111% in parts of California to cover the cost. That's if they stayed in California, they'd have to completely change their business model and jack up the rates.
Which gives us an indication of how many jobs are destroyed. Mm-hmm. By the way that employees are treated. You know, if an employee costs the employer twice as much as a contractor, which is certainly reasonable, you know, the contractor costs exactly what you pay to that contractor. You don't have to pay anything to anybody else for your contractor.
Right, there's no Social Security takeout or any of that stuff.
So that indicates that, you know, they're... that a lot of jobs are destroyed by the tax status of employees.
Yep. The New York Times reported in August that both companies were considering a fleet-like model similar to traditional taxis. Under that model, the companies would license their brands to operators like a franchise, according to the Times. The proposition has significant... Isn't that crazy that California is such a big market that Uber and Lyft would actually consider completely changing their business model rather than just saying, see ya?
Yeah.
And leaving. Because that's what they did in Austin. When Austin, Texas put on new restrictions on these companies requiring them to send their applicants to the police department for a separate background check, Uber and Lyft said, well, see ya. And they just pulled out of Austin entirely until Austin changed its tune. And then they came back. So they should have done the same thing here, but instead they were looking to change. In this case, the voters saved them from it. The proposition has significant implications for DoorDash and Instacart, both of which are reportedly preparing to go public. Like Uber and Lyft, these companies are also relying heavily on gig workers for their delivery services. Without the passage of Proposition 22, they would likely have had to worry about bigger expenses to hire workers as employees. Critics like Representative Ro Khanna in California have said there's nothing written into the current labor law stopping Uber and Lyft from providing flexibility to drivers while classifying them as employees. The companies have countered that the logistics of such a model would be untenable since it would be too difficult to track the time worked. And that also is a big reason why. You don't want to pay somebody to sit around and not take somebody somewhere.
Right.
When you're an Uber or Lyft driver, you only get paid when there is a ride.
Yeah,
that's
but when there isn't a ride, you're free to go home or go do something else.
Or sit there, you know, play a video game or whatever. It doesn't matter. 855-450-FREE, that's the toll-free number. This is Free Talk Live. Share your thoughts.
Ziggy's been a pretty good investment for Free Talk Live. Their ad campaign started in September 2019, and from mid-March to mid-July, the value soared by 10 times. It's not too late. Divvy's new wallet hasn't even released yet, and other things are happening that I can't even say on the radio. If you want to invest and potentially do well, go to DivvyProject.org. I can tell you that FTL is deepening its partnership with the guys from DivvyProject.org. Past performance is not an indication of future profit. DivvyProject.org. D-I-V-I Project.org.
Every year, over 1 million fires burn in America. Fortunately, firefighters are on the job, saving life and property, and you can be a part of it. 7 out of 10 firefighters and emergency responders are volunteers. There's no typical firefighter. Anyone can volunteer to serve their community. Volunteering as a first responder is really about having the heart and drive to make a difference where it's needed most. Your community needs you. Are you ready to answer the call? Learn more and find local volunteer opportunities at MakeMeAFirefighter.org.
What if the United States and the Soviet Union had fought on land, sea, air, and the astral plane, struggled for dominion across parallel dimensions, or on the surface of the moon? What wonders would have been unveiled? What terrors would have haunted mankind from those dark and dismal dimensions? Come closer, peer through a glass darkly, and discover the horrifying alternative visions of World War III from some of today's greatest minds in science fiction, fantasy, and horror. Weird World War III. Available now from Bain Books at BainBooks.com.
News from news.bitcoin.com. Bitcoin tops 13,000 and breaks its own record for consecutive days above 10,000. Satoshi Nakamoto, if alive, enters the top 200 world's wealthiest people. DC, International Monetary Fund Manager, warns of major financial reset imminent. PayPal begins selling and accepting Bitcoin. Bitcoin goes mainstream. Bitcoin.com is your source for getting started with cryptocurrencies, getting a wallet, buying Bitcoin Cash, and all the latest cryptocurrency news at news.bitcoin.com.
No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com. And an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Do you have health or energy challenges? Would you like to support your health and energy from a product that people consistently feel the uplifting and health-building effects from the first day they consume it? I introduce you to Green Meadow Whey, the only whey protein powder from grass-pastured cows that is processed in a manner that ensures that the proteins and amino acids remain in their correct geometric shape that the body can use. The naturally occurring proteins, peptides, and amino acids in renatured whey are proven to support multiple aspects of human health, from complementing your immune system to neutralizing chronic inflammation, to supporting detoxification, to stabilization of blood sugar, and more. Additionally, due to the Tesla-like frequencies encoded into Green Meadow Whey, it is a dramatic support for your energy and mood. And it is an excellent emergency preparedness food with well over a 5-year shelf life. To order, call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. Or visit greenmeadowway.com. Greenmeadowway.com.
We've all seen and perhaps use the alcohol-based hand sanitizers. Have you noticed how it dries your skin, and as soon as the alcohol evaporates, it's no longer effective? GCNteam.com has alcohol-free antibacterial soap and foam meeting or exceeding all requirements set forth by the United States Food and Drug Administration. Come to GCNteam.com, keyword antibacterial, or call 877-878-4203.
This is Free Talk Live. Call in toll free. 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-FREE.
Free Talk Talk Live. Dial in, toll free, take control of the airwaves here. We're talking about the gig economy, which was under pretty heavy fire by the politicians in California, having passed a law that was trying to shove businesses like Uber, Lyft, Postmates, DoorDash, these gig economy organizations, into forcing basically them to have employees instead of contractors. And that is essentially telling them that their business model is no good here. You're not welcome here. You can't be in California unless you want to do it the way we say to do it, we being the politicians in that case. But the companies pushed back because California is a huge market and they didn't want to lose it. They spent $200 million promoting Proposition 22 that got a lot of, you know, the liberal media upset. There was a lot of propaganda pieces out there attacking Uber and Lyft. And look, there's plenty of reasons to attack Uber and Lyft. I mean, these companies are not great companies. I'm not a huge fan of them. I used to drive for Uber, and they booted me out without ever telling me why. And I know why it was. It was because some of the local haters complained about me to them. I had a 5-star rating with Uber, and so there was no reason for them to kick me out. And they didn't give me a reason, even though I asked them multiple times during the time where the 9 months where they put me on what they called the wait list. So I was still able to, like, log into my account and look at all my statistics and everything, but I wasn't able to drive for them. And I gave them, I requested them multiple opportunities. I said, hey, you guys are obviously, you know, you're looking into, they admitted to me that they were investigating something. Mm-hmm. And I said, well, would you like to ask me a question about it? Whatever it is that you're investigating, would you like to ask me something about it? And they said, well, if we need to, we'll talk to you about it. And they never asked me a single thing. And 9 months later, after I, you know, pinged them a few times, giving them the opportunity to, you know, talk to somebody who might know a thing or two about me, like me, they didn't bother. And they just canceled my drivership with their app.
So, wow.
Yeah. So, you know, they're kind of a crappy company. But ultimately, they should be free to make choices as far as how to run their business. And as the article here at CNBC points out, they are still not profitable. So, you know, they're just gobbling up venture capital, essentially, over all these years in the hopes that someday they'll actually be able to make a profit. And as one of our chatters pointed out here, to the Max 4 BDE in the Matrix chat, pointing out that, you know, they're ultimately going to get rid of drivers completely. That what they want is a completely automated car system where they don't have to deal with human drivers at all. And another problem with Uber this year is that they mandated that all their drivers have to wear masks. And in point of fact, if one of their customers snitches on a driver for not wearing a mask, they will be canceled, likely. Or, I'm sorry, what they're doing is they're also forcing them to prove they're wearing a mask. So when they log in, they have to take a photograph of themselves wearing a mask to show the app that they have a mask on.
Wow.
Pretty terrible. So, again, I'm no big fan of these companies, but they have a right to do things the way they want to do it. If people think that Uber and Lyft is a bad gig, then they should stop working for them and go start their own company.
Absolutely.
Nothing is stopping them. There are things stopping them. The government has regulations in place. You can't just start a cab company.
No, not anymore.
No. Not for a long time.
Yeah. It's always the government keeping us poor.
Yep.
They're the only ones who have enough guns to do it.
That's right. Because without them pointing guns at you, you could just go put a magnetic, you know, sign on your car and start handing out business cards at bars during closing time and, you know, get some business.
Yeah, the cab companies would whine, but, you know, they...
Too bad.
Without the government to do the dirty work for them, they couldn't stop me.
So let me continue here from CNBC. Let's see. Companies have countered that the logistics of the employee model that the government wanted to force on them would be untenable since it would be too difficult to track the time worked. Companies faced a setback in August when a trial judge granted a preliminary injunction forcing them to reclassify their drivers as employees, although that ruling has yet to go into effect as the case makes its way through the legal process. That lawsuit's fate is now unclear since the ballot measure has passed. Bay Area rideshare driver Jimmy Strano said in a statement shared by on 22, quote, in a historic election, California drivers sent a clear message that we want to be independent, and that's what's best for us is a new, and that what's best for us is a new approach that preserves our independence while providing new benefits. A Lyft spokesperson deferred to the statements from Yes on 22. Representatives from Uber and the California Attorney General's office did not immediately respond to requests for comment. So there's your update on Proposition 22. It's a little bit of good news, but they did, again, they bent a little bit allowing what they call minimum earnings and vehicle insurance, so new benefits to their drivers. What that exactly means to the drivers, I'm not real sure. I presume it's some sort of a minimum based on the number of trips taken or the distance of those trips taken, because obviously, you know, the whole point is to avoid paying drivers for just sitting there.
Yeah, and you know, if it turns out that they're forced to pay drivers for hours logged in, then it's really easy for drivers to just log in.
To fool that, yeah.
Not be there and not get paid for nothing.
Right, and that's what the lazy drivers want.
Yeah.
So that's where all this has come from. There's the sort of the lazy, let's call them union drivers, who, mm-hmm. who, you know, they would love to get paid to sit around the house and then take the occasional ride.
No.
But that's not a tenable business model for these companies. And so that's what, you know, led to all this. Now, they're not going to stop with this. They're going to, I'm sure, continue their assault on these companies and on the ride-sharing and the gig-sharing economy. But this was, in the case of the voters of California, a surprise. I have to say, I didn't think that they would do it.
Yeah.
But they did. So kudos.
Well, that's good. Fighting back against the government overreach is always good, even especially in the most least likely of places.
So here's a story I didn't expect to see, nobody, and that is the latest on the Silk Road. Remember them?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, I always remember Ross.
Yeah, Ross Ulbricht sitting in prison right now for two life sentences plus 40 years. This isn't about Ross, per se. It's about the money.
Mm-hmm.
It's about the bitcoins. Apparently, I don't know how they did it, and they're not saying all, they're not giving all the details yet, but the federal government has managed to acquire about $1 billion worth of Bitcoin from the Silk Road.
Hmm.
And here we are, 7 years now since they arrested Ross in October of 2013. Almost a decade since the creation of the Silk Road. It was 2011 when the Silk Road was created.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, for listeners who are unfamiliar, it was a really important thing. And the Silk Road, I think there was an interesting point that Ross's mother made at one of those speeches I saw her give. I think it was at a Bitcoin conference, when I saw her explaining that somebody told her that Ross Ulbricht is probably second to Satoshi Nakamoto, him or herself, as far as importance to the success of Bitcoin. What do you think about that?
Quite possibly. I mean, without something to spend Bitcoin on, it would have been hard to explain what it was good for.
Exactly. He created the killer app for Bitcoin, which was the Silk Road, early in Bitcoin's existence. Before the Silk Road, Bitcoin was just a digital trinket. It was just a thing traded amongst programmers. But then you could trade it for drugs, and that changed everything. We're coming up.
News from news.bitcoin.com. Bitcoin tops 13,000 and breaks its own record for consecutive days above 10,000. Satoshi Nakamoto, if alive, enters the top 200 world's wealthiest people. BC, International Monetary Fund Manager, warns of major financial reset imminent. PayPal begins selling and accepting Bitcoin. Bitcoin goes mainstream. Bitcoin.com is your source for getting started with cryptocurrencies, getting a wallet, buying Bitcoin, Cash, and all the latest cryptocurrency news at news.bitcoin.com.
Did you know you can support freedom of speech just by visiting shop.freetalklive.com? You'll see links to Walmart, Love Java, Newegg, and more. Every day, Free Talk Live is at the forefront of the liberty movement as the biggest liberty-oriented talk show in the world, giving you a platform to be heard on any topic. Get listener-only specials without doing anything other than an extra click. Visit shop.freetalklive.com. Use the links and buy what you'd be buying anyway. Take action now. Save and support freedom. Visit shop.freetalklive.com. Live.com. It's shop.freetalklive.com.
USA Radio News with Dan Naraki.
Waiting on the counts. Both presidential candidates addressed the ongoing vote counting Thursday as results continue to trickle in.
President Trump continued to assert that mail-in balloting was corrupt. He said the Democrats knew that was the only way they'd be able to win.
And I've told everybody that these things would happen because I've seen it happen. I watched a lot of different elections before they decided to go with this big, massive election with tens of millions of ballots going out to everybody, in many cases totally unsolicited.
Former Vice President Joe Biden called for calm while the counts continued and remained confident in the outcome.
We continue to feel very good about where things stand. We have no doubt that when the count is finished, Senator Harris and I will be declared the winners. So I ask everyone to stay calm, all the people to stay calm. The process is working.
This is USA Radio News. Flights will soon begin between Israel and the UAE.
United Arab Emirates airline Fly Dubai said it will start direct flights to Israel this month with twice daily services between Dubai and Tel Aviv. The announcement on Wednesday came after the Gulf state in August agreed to establish formal diplomatic ties with Israel in a deal brokered by President Trump. UAE and Israeli citizens are now able to visit each other's country without applying for a visa before traveling as part of the agreements recently signed by the two states. From the West Coast, USA Radio News Bureau, I'm Lance Pry.
Ada is moving back out to sea after bringing widespread flooding and deadly landslides to Central America. More than 50 deaths are blamed on the storm that came ashore earlier this week as a Category 4 hurricane. The storm is expected to track to the north and could re-strengthen into a tropical storm. Forecasters say it could threaten the Grand Cayman Islands and the western end of Cuba this weekend before turning towards Florida early next week. This is USA Radio News.
Now, with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano-colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano-colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nano-colloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
You're listening to Free Talk Live. Call in toll-free at 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-FREE.
Free Talk Live. You can bring up whatever you want here. The toll-free number is 855-450-FREE, like freedom. That's 855-450-3733. You can also sign up for the Free Talk Live emails that I send on occasion to keep you in the loop with what's going on with Free Talk Live. You can go to freetalklive.com. You'll find the email sign-up box there on pretty much every page at the site on down towards the bottom of the page. So check that out at freetalklive.com. With you tonight, you've got Ian.
And nobody.
We are talking about the Silk Road. It's back in the news. The arguably most important development in the Bitcoin life cycle. Yeah, Bitcoin came out in 2009, but it wasn't really until 2011 with the launch of the Silk Road until Bitcoin really became useful, where you could then use Bitcoin to purchase all manner of illegal drugs on the so-called dark web via the Silk Road. It lasted for a couple of years until they took Ross Ulbricht down, sadly, in a raid that actually took place at a San Francisco library where they arrested him while he was logged into the site, managed to get him before he could close his laptop, and they got access. They'd actually already had access to the back end of the site. They had busted one of the co-administrators of the site without the knowledge of Ross previously and replaced him with a federal agent. So they actually already had back-end access to the site. So it's actually a really interesting and fascinating story. It's a tragic one because Ross is a young gentleman who has never harmed another person. He actually, I would argue, stopped people from being harmed because Silk Road was, in addition to an amazing technology, also great for harm reduction because it resulted in people being able to buy illegal drugs without having to go through the usual black market channels of meeting somebody in a dark alley or a parking lot or some crack den or whatever in order to purchase their product. It allowed the purchase, the sale of drugs without actually having the two parties physically knowing who they were. It was an amazing safety measure, ultimately.
Yeah, and I know people who get their ADD meds over the dark web, and they get them at a much better price than they would pay if they had to pay a doctor every month to tell them, hey, guess what? You need Adderall. You know? It's like, yeah, I've needed Adderall for 15 years, but I have to pay you every month to tell me again.
And so we could go down the list of reasons why the Silk Road was a tremendous innovation, tremendous benefit and boon to society. It saved people's lives. There are people alive today who would have died because they might have bought drugs that were impure on the black market. They might have purchased drugs that were of a higher, higher purity than they were used to, and that could have killed them. If you're used to a certain level of purity of heroin, and then all of a sudden there's one that's like 10 times stronger, and you don't know that in the black market, you don't know what you're getting when you're buying from some dealer in town or whatever. And there are people who've died from that sort of thing. Well,
yeah, and it brings in some level of accountability, at
least. That's right, because of competition.
Yeah, with competition and because you can review sellers.
Exactly. So let me get to the story, though. Here's why it's back in the news. Ars Technica reporting at ArsTechnica.com. On Wednesday, they reported someone had transferred close to $1 billion worth of Bitcoin out of a wallet associated with Silk Road. Now we know who that mystery party is, the U.S. Department of Justice, which in 2013 shut down Silk Road and went to put its founder, Ross Ulbricht, behind bars for life. Quote, the successful prosecution of Silk Road's founder in 2015 left open a billion-dollar question. Where did the money go? Said U.S. Attorney David Anderson in a news release. Continuing his quote, he said, today's forfeiture complaint answers this open question, at least in part. $1 billion worth of these criminal proceeds are now in the United States' possession, sadly. Silk Road and Ulbricht were among the most popular and successful online crime figures in internet history. Hosted on the anonymous dark web, the quote anonymous dark web, they somehow de-anonymized the Silk Road and other darknet websites, and we've still yet to figure out how they've figured how to do that. The service brought together sellers and buyers of drugs, fake IDs, and just about any other kind of illicit good or service imaginable. That's not true. Silk Road did not sell specific categories of things. They would not sell poison, and they would not sell child pornography. So those things were not allowed there. There were thousands of dealers and well over 100,000 buyers, U.S. attorneys wrote in a civil complaint filed on Thursday. The document said the Silk Road generated revenue of over 9.5 million Bitcoin and collected commissions from these sales of more than 600,000 Bitcoin.
Wow.
So if you do the math, that currently there's about 15,000. Actually, it's getting closer to 16,000, but we'll just go and call it $15,000 per Bitcoin. I mean, you're talking about $9 billion worth of Bitcoin in net revenue there.
Wow.
Thursday's complaint came 5 years after Ulbricht was convicted and sentenced to two life terms plus 40 years. The IRS criminal investigation arm assisted in tracking down the intricate scheme to obfuscate the recipients of the proceeds. The seizure came 2 days after blockchain analysts noted someone had transferred 69,369 Bitcoin, worth around $975 million, out of an account that had received them from the Silk Road. The wallet, which remained quiet since 2015, was the world's fourth biggest wallet.
Wow.
It's amazing. In intriguing details that sound like they're straight out of a crime novel, the complaint said that a mysterious hacker identified only as Individual X was responsible for transferring the seized Bitcoin out of the Silk Road coffers. Quote, According to the investigation, Individual X was able to hack into the Silk Road and gain unauthorized and illegal access to the Silk Road and thereby steal the illicit cryptocurrency from Silk Road and move it into wallets that Individual X controlled. According to the investigation, Ulbricht became aware of Individual X's online identity and threatened him for return of the cryptocurrency to Ulbricht, unquote. The unknown hacker didn't return or spend the Bitcoin. Instead, Individual X on Tuesday signed a consent and agreement to forfeiture with the U.S. Attorney's Office in San Francisco, agreeing to turn over the funds to the government. So what is not answered here is how they identified Individual X and what they did to him to get him to hand over the money.
Well, Individual X, that sounds like he's being protected by the government. Maybe he was one of their FBI snoops, because they had a couple of FBI guys
that were
in
trying to
the Silk Road
yeah.
who were stealing from the Silk Road.
That's true. They went to prison, those guys.
So they say.
Yeah. Well, that's the claim.
Yeah, hopefully they really did, because unlike Ross, they belong there.
The complaint details the lengths Ulbricht took to obfuscate the transfer of the funds and the forensics expertise that finally unraveled the true origins of the Bitcoin. An excerpt here says, the Silk Road used a so-called tumbler to process Bitcoin transactions in a manner designed to frustrate the tracking of individual transactions through the blockchain. According to Silk Road's webpage, Silk Road's tumbler, quote, send all payments through a complex semi-random series of dummy transactions, making it nearly impossible to link your payment with any coins leaving the site. In other words, if a buyer makes a payment on the Silk Road, the tumbler obscures any link between the buyer's Bitcoin address and the vendor's Bitcoin address where the Bitcoins end up, making it fruitless to use the blockchain to follow the money trail involved in the transaction, even if the buyer's and vendor's Bitcoin addresses are both known. The only function served by Silk Road's implementation of such tumblers is to assist with the laundering of criminal proceeds, unquote. Earlier this year, federal authorities used a third-party Bitcoin attribution company to analyze transactions executed by Silk Road. They zeroed in on 54 of those transactions that transferred over 70,000 Bitcoin between two particular wallets. And the Bitcoin was valued at about $354,000 in 2013, and now it's worth like $9
billion. Wow.
Two years later, the third wallet, not $9 billion, but quite a few. $1 billion. This third wallet sent 101 Bitcoin at the time to BTCE, an unlicensed cryptocurrency exchange whose founder was arrested in 2017 on allegations he committed $4 billion worth of Bitcoin laundering. The Bitcoin remained stayed in the wallet until this week's seizure. Blockchain analyst firm Chainalysis, which assisted in the investigation, shame on them, provided additional details along with a graphic showing the account flow.
Wow.
So they got the money, a lot of it at least, from the Silk Road.
It would be nice if there was a way to blacklist those coins so they could never be spent on the blockchain again, basically causing the stolen money to turn to dust in the hands of the thief.
Or to lose value, yeah, basically.
Yeah.
More coming up here in moments. This is Free Talk Live.
When you have a pain in the neck, a real pain in the neck, back, shoulder, or legs, you now have two convenient choices to get fast relief without taking another pill. Because now, Sunny Bay heating wraps and pillows are available at both Amazon and Walmart. Yes, see Sunny Bay's 4.5 to 5-star customer reviews on Amazon.com or Walmart.com. Our made in the USA, microwavable heat wraps, heatable neck pillows, and extra large body wraps are designed better for perfect support where and when you need it. Even while driving, Sunny Bay wraps will not burn and stay balanced to provide soothing hot or cold therapy to help treat temporary or chronic pain. And the best part? Sunny Bay quality products start at under $20. Join thousands of happy customers and see why Sunny Bay products have a lifetime 100% positive rating on both Amazon and Etsy. It's easy. Click Amazon or Walmart and search today for Sunny Bay.
Attention business owners body slammed by overwhelming debt. If your business is in trouble, hassled by creditors, if you're frustrated, finally fed up with big business bailouts while your business has been left for dead, please listen close. There's a brand new fast-track bankruptcy. Some have even called it the biggest small business bailout in American history. Designed for individuals and their businesses. And look, almost no one knows about this yet. My attorney wasn't even aware of it. The truth is, beating the system has never been easy because it's it's rigged in a sense against the little guy. But here's the jaw-dropping news nobody's talking about. They've literally just changed the system so that you can beat it. But only if you understand how the new game has to be played. Find out if you qualify at pocketsoflight.com. This government-backed small business repair program is still legal, but may not be renewed after the election. Fight back fairly. Fight back ethically at pocketsoflight.com.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Introducing Reveal from GCNLife.com. Beverly Hills dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman invented Reveal, which contains polypeptides with natural botanicals and no parabens, sulfates, silicones, or dyes for a salon-quality hair growth product. Reveal. Here's Dr. Newman.
I've treated a lot of patients who lose their hair and they lose their confidence. We've created a unique set of polypeptides, which we call HPT6. The HPT6 contains the polypeptides from six different plants. The scalp infusion treatment should be used on wet or dry scalp. The Reveal hair care system is designed to be used for men and women alike.
Get Reveal at GCNLife.com with a 30-day money-back guarantee. So try Reveal today at GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637. Plus a discount up to 25% off for Reveal at GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
This is George Norrie from Coast to Coast AM and History Channel's Ancient Aliens. We support the amazing energy, nutrition, and skincare products from Jeunesse. Jeunesse products are designed by leading doctors in their field with natural ingredients and even stem cell technology. These products help your body perform and look better. Shop Jeunesse at GCNLife.com or call 1-844-443-6637. GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
Now more Free Talk Live. Call in toll-free at 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-FREE.
It's Free Talk Live. You can bring up anything that you want. Our number here, 855-450-FREE, like freedom. That's 855-450-3733. Here tonight, it's Ian.
And nobody.
And Free Talk Live brought to you by Cell411 and the new CopBlock.app. Which is something you've been working on behind the scenes, nobody.
It's been a lot of fun to be coding again. I really enjoy writing code.
Yeah, and you're pretty excited about this project. You've talked about it on Nobody Tells the Truth over the past two or three weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Just kind of getting your listeners on your show, Nobody Tells the Truth, which happens, by the way, Friday nights. Are you doing it tomorrow night?
Yeah, I do it every Friday.
10:30 Eastern Time. It's on DLive and Twitch, our video streaming channel, so it's exclusive mm-hmm. to those video platforms.
And we also push the videos of it. If you want to catch it when it's not live, mm-hmm. we also push that across to the LRN or the Free Talk Live radio channel.
Have you been doing that consistently? Because I haven't.
I have been doing it when I notice.
But
yeah, that's something we should be sure to do consistently.
So check out that show tomorrow night. It'll be live at that time. But one of the things we've been talking about, in I would say great detail, has been your new project with Cell411, which you're planning to sort of do additional branding as CopBlock.app. So bringing back, essentially raising from the dead, basically, this wonderful activist, not really website. The website still exists. CopBlock.org is the old site. It's in new... under new management, and basically what happened was Adamo Freeman, who is former co-host here on Free Talk Live and the founder of CopBlock, he retired and walked away from Cop Block, I don't know, 2017 or 2016 or I think it was probably 2017, 2018. And he walked away from it, and it's a big, you know, he had big shoes to fill, and he, you know, offered
he had
the
big feet.
Yeah. He offered the opportunity to the other Cop Block bloggers to step in and take over, but none of them really wanted that level of responsibility, and so it sort of languished, and he just decided to put the domain up for auction. And somebody paid $1,200, I think it was, and got their hands on the domain. The guy who bought it didn't even know what Cop Block was. He just thought it was a cool-sounding name. And thankfully, he didn't take the site down. I think he had hoped that he could make some money off of it, but it's activism. It's hard to make money on activism. The old Cop Block site, I talked to Adamo before he took it down and kind of got a rundown from him. There was a little bit of revenue coming in from some like Google Ads or whatever on the site. A few advertisers, but ultimately it barely even covered the costs of running the website, so there was no money being made by Cop Block. And so the new owner certainly isn't making any money off of it because there's even less content now than there's ever been. I will post occasionally to the site. I still have blogging access to the site. I used to be an admin, but I was de-adminned when the new guy took over. So I can't even like update the website in any meaningful way besides like just putting new content there. So it's basically a shell of its former self. The organization itself has essentially been dissolved. There's maybe a few active Cop Block groups still around the country. I think Nevada Cop Block still does some stuff. I met with a couple of those guys last summer when I was at the Freedom Fest. So they're still doing some stuff out in the streets. We're still doing stuff here in Keene on occasion as well. And that, in fact, that's where all the content comes from for CopBlock.org these days. But you had a vision, Nobody, about the Cell 411 app, which is also sort of a really cool activist thing that was let languish over the last year when, sadly, Virgil Viduva, the creator of the app, sadly, ended up going through a divorce, and it kind of really took his attention away from doing Cell 411. And for listeners that don't know, Cell 411 is it's an app. You can still download it. It still exists. It's got some bugs that we're working on. But it is a emergency alerts application that allows you to set a group up called a cell, which might include your family members or might include your friends or your neighbors or something like that.
Or your local neighborhood watch.
Exactly. And you can let them know when something is happening to you. Maybe it's the police, they're harassing you. Maybe the house caught on fire. Maybe your grandmother's having a heart attack. You know, something like that. Some sort of bad thing happening. You can send out an instant alert that sends to your group of friends or whoever, and that way they can respond. Instead of like the police responding and possibly shooting you or your dog, you know, your friends can respond to an emergency situation. It's a great idea for an app, and it worked very well. It's just it's languished for the last year, and when you let a program like that languish, things break due to various different things happening.
Programmers call it bit rot.
Yeah.
And it was heavily used by cop blockers because
that's right.
You know, and so the vision that I've got is, basically let every user of the app be a cop blocker, at least to the extent of when you see the police harassing somebody, start filming it and film it through the app. And if there are local cop block people, people who actually go out to block cops, let them hear that and let them respond to that. And because the problem with cop blocking is always finding them, if they're walking around downtown, you can find the cops, but if they're just pulling somebody over in some obscure place like they did, for example, before they killed Sandra Bland, then it's harder to catch up with them. So this gives anybody who sees them an opportunity to let people know that, you know, the cops are harassing somebody here and they need to be watched. They need to be put in check.
So what happened was, The app, as I said, had languished, and I was unable to get in touch with Virgil for months. I tried to let him know because it had actually been pulled down from the Google App Store, or the Google Play Store as of December of 2019 is when I first noticed. And I tried to get in touch with him, and he wasn't responding. I didn't know about the divorce this time. I thought maybe he was in the hospital or something. I didn't know what had happened.
Yeah.
And so finally, several months later, I think it was probably like 5 months later, finally in like April or May or something like that, I was able to reach him. He told me what had happened and that he's, you know, been in disarray basically because of the situation happening in his life. And
general disarray.
Yeah. So I said, you know, what can I do to help? Because I don't want to see this app die. It's a really useful app, probably the most useful activist app I've seen in my lifetime. So I didn't want to see it die, and he said he wanted out. And I said, well, one of the things that that has always been the big complaint about the old Cell 411 app is that some people really wanted to see the code, you know, that it was always a closed source project for Virgil. And, you know, it's his project. He's the one who poured money into it, so it's his choice, right? Like, he gets to make that decision. But he said he wanted out, and I said, all right, well, you know what? Shire Free Church is interested in taking it over. We're interested in saving this thing. But one of the things I want to do with it is I want to open source this app. And so we bought it. Shire Free Church bought the rights and the website and the code and all that, and you stepped up and you said this is something that's exciting to you and interesting to you, and you wanted to head this this project up. So I said, all right, here you go. And you've been cracking on this, man, day in, day out. You've been digging through the code. You've been talking to the original programmers, a couple Indian guys that Virgil had hired to do this. And I think a lot of people have been pretty impressed with how you've been handling this and that you've really taken this very seriously and have done what I consider to be a good job so far. Now, we haven't done a new version yet. You're still learning the guts and finding out where things are wrong and trying to get some things fixed. Right.
I've got one more major issue that I want to take care of before I do a release, which is we're having problems with some people getting notifications.
Or rather not.
And exactly. And so, you know, without notifications, the system doesn't work.
Right.
So that's the next thing, is get notifications out there.
Yeah, so that's what I want to do. Want to fix the major glaring issue, that one in particular. And there's some other technicals behind the scenes, like some old version stuff that needs to get buttoned up and, you know, for lack of a better technical term, and then get this new version out, hopefully in time for Christmas. I don't think that's too unreasonable to say. Maybe you could squash that one by Christmas time, I'm hoping, a little Christmas holiday.
Oh, yeah, I'm hoping to have it done in a week.
Thanksgiving would be great, too. It'll be a good holiday season, I think, here, if we can get Cell 411 back up and back in action. But right now, you can visit copblock.app, and you've put up a basic website there.
Just a placeholder, mostly.
We're going to be putting up some contribution options there. You've registered an Edge wallet, and there's now a Theo name, which we don't have time to discuss, but we're going to have you put all that info up on the website for people.
But if you know what what a Theo name is, it's copblock.edge. At Edge.
Copblock.
I have to stop saying dot.
Yeah, so get that info up on the website. We'll talk further about it as time goes on here and let you know how things are developing. I'm excited about it. I think you will be, too, because we've got some other plans, too, like decentralizing the app down the road, making it less dependent on third parties. We've got some good plans. We'll see you tomorrow. FreeTalkLive.com.
Peace.
Remember when you first heard about Bitcoin? How long did it take you to realize this little project would soon change the world? Do you kind of wish you had gotten involved sooner? Well, now is your chance to be part of the next revolution in money. Intercoin is working to finally make crypto go mainstream. It's designed to be scalable enough to support everyday payments and even elections without the state. Bitcoin was originally supposed to be a peer-to-peer cash system, the way we would all pay one another without having to trust any third party. But instead, over time, it mostly became a store of value. That's because every 10 minutes, the Bitcoin network must put all transactions into a block, and that block can only hold so much. If crypto is to become mainstream, for everyone to use it in everyday payments, we need a new architecture, one that's as secure as Bitcoin while being far more scalable. Check out intercoin.org to find out more, and maybe pick up some of those coins for yourself.
Bags under the eyes, crow's feet, fine lines and wrinkles are things adults complain about as they age. Now, there's Instantly Ageless. It works in minutes and is great for men and women. Here's Dr. Sonia Baccia on The Doctors.
So this is a product we're going to see if it works. It's called Instantly Ageless. And the idea is that it works very quickly. Is you just need a very small amount. And then you apply it to areas where you might be a little bit puffy. I have just looked at what's in this product. And one of them is something called argireline, which is sort of a darling in dermatology right now. It's a peptide or a protein that actually relaxes the muscle. It's also called Botox in a bottle. The other active ingredient in this is silicates, which are almost act like a clay. They're minerals, and they're making the skin sort of tighter. It's actually increasing the surface tension on the skin to push that herniated fat pad back.
Try Instantly Ageless today at GCNLife.com. That's GCNLife.com. 30-day money-back guarantee and preferred price discount at GCNLife.com.